Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and correlate what we have touched on in part 1. We have touched on how the human spirit's growth is related but different from the gifts, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are different words that Paul used when he described the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, you look very carefully, the word gifts has been used more in reference to one or two of the gifts of the Spirit. But in general, he calls it in verse 7, the manifestation. The manifestation of the Spirit. And that's important for us to consider. In verse 4, he says here, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that's the word diversities. That means different types. Different gifts. Diversities. But the same Spirit. And then he says in verse 5, there are differences of ministries. Differences. So here, you have different, using the emphasis of diverse. And here is different in the sense of dissimilar. But it's not talking about spirit, it's talking about ministry. But the same Lord, that is Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 6. There are diversities of activities. And the word activities has been translated sometimes as the word operations. Diversities of operations. But it's the same God who works all in all. Do you notice that in verse 4, 5 and 6, you have God the Spirit, God the Son, God the Father. The Trinity is found in those 3 verses. And it all works together. But each one of the person that God hit is working a different aspect altogether. And then in verse 7, the gifts of the Spirit are not really called gifts. They are called spiritual manifestations. Now the word manifest means to make something tangible, visible, experiential. That would be what we would define as something that is manifest. Like radio waves cannot be heard by our normal senses, but it's converted into sound waves when it passes through all those electrical things and condensers in tubes, and then it's reproduced as sound waves for us to hear in a realm tangible to our physical man. And so to manifest is to make something tangible to our senses. And that's what the general word gifts has been called in 1 Corinthians 12. And why are all these words used when it comes to the 9 gifts of the Spirit? See, we have learned that there is the growth of the human spirit, there is the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and of course there is the realm of the natural man. There is the natural man's wisdom, natural man's knowledge, which is out in the world, worldly wisdom, worldly knowledge, worldly discernment. Yes? They do have that to a certain extent. And human faith, which is different from the human spirits. And then in the realm of miracles, you have human technology. They try to achieve the same thing. And in the realm of healing, there's medical science and natural healing and all those from the natural world to get healed. And in the realm of prophesying, they have forecasting. They try to forecast and predict what is to come. And then in the realm of tongues, you have the linguists. We learn many, many languages. We go to school and some of them are real talented. They speak many languages. And they could speak in various tongues. And the same with the talent of interpretation. There's a natural realm. And then there's a human spirit realm. And there's a Holy Spirit realm. Now let's put it all together to see something here. And I'm going to remove this section here. And in order to illustrate what the word manifestation means, because that will help us understand how to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we have the spirit world. And where the Holy Spirit is working. Capital H, capital S. And Holy Spirit contacts our human spirit. Small H, small S, human spirit. And of course, our human spirit has our spirit, our soul, and our physical body. Our physical body. And we know, of course, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The word manifest would mean, see, the people in the world, in this realm, cannot normally see our human spirit. They only relate to our natural man, and of course, the manifestations of our soul qualities that they discern. The people of the world cannot see beyond the five senses. And they don't know the Holy Spirit, which is why Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that the Spirit comes like the wind, moves like the wind. You can't see Him, but you see His effects, and you see the results of His work. Say, such is the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14, He says that He talks about the Holy Spirit, and He says, the world cannot receive Him because the world neither see Him nor know Him. See, the world cannot receive the work of the Holy Spirit. What happens when the gifts of the Spirit are operating is that the Holy Spirit gives His empowerment in through our human spirit. And at a certain point, when it moves out through our soul, and of course moves through our physical body that is yielded as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it becomes manifest. It needs an instrument. And we are the temples of the Holy Spirit to yield to God. And there is a difference between the gifts of the Spirit working and the human spirit working. Usually, when the human spirit does things, there is a time factor. That is why when most God is God's will to heal all, and that can be achieved through His promises, believing His word. And then when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you cannot make the Spirit do what He doesn't want to do, because when the gifts of the Spirit work, they are more than just for healing. They are for demonstrating the power and the presence of God. And when the Holy Spirit works, let's say in the realm of healing, miracles, it's always instantaneous. You know the gifts, instantaneous. Yeah. You see the difference? Now you ask people ask a question, why does my healing take time? Because sometimes it's God's will for you to get healed through the growth of your human spirit. And in fact, sometimes the same individual get one area of healing by the gift, the other area by his faith, growing in faith. Because we are interested in getting healed, but God is interested in our life. And if you see that in your life, that these are the things that you go through that will make you a better person, that's the way He wants. But the end result is always the same, that Jesus come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. End result. So you see, here sometimes it takes time and it's gradual. But when the Spirit works, it's instantaneous. Shoo! There's a flow of His power. It manifests, flow right through us. Now you notice something here, that this one, as you say, it works as the Spirit will. And you can only yield, but you cannot force Him to do what He doesn't want to do. And that means if there's no, you see, for example, if there's no a prophecy for people, you cannot squeeze yourself to get a prophecy out. But your human spirit can always pick up some prophecy at all times. See the difference? But you can tell the level of anointing is different. Here the level is at a human spirit level. There's still a blessing involved. But when it operate by the Holy Spirit, is the capital H, capital S, is by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's very powerful. And so as we learn to yield to the Spirit, we need to learn to step between the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. You can see the difference. If we don't learn the difference, sometimes the Spirit doesn't want to move and we try to force it to move, it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, if we don't train our human spirit, the Holy Spirit cannot work through, because it always flows through the Holy Spirit. Like the last verse we read in Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I serve God with my spirit. So how is that possible to serve God with my spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will work through our human spirit to do all that He wants to do. And in order to understand this realm and this manifest realm, let's work backwards from here. From the word manifest. See, there's a key word. Manifest to what? Manifest to our five senses. The natural realm is in the five realm of the five senses. The sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, our five senses. If a person lose one of their five senses, it's like one section of the whole world doesn't exist. Right? Like a person who can't hear music doesn't exist in a sense. He can feel some vibration, but he doesn't appreciate music in the full realm that we can. A person who cannot see doesn't know what color is like, if a person is born blind. No idea what color is like. And so these natural five senses are what sense, when the Holy Spirit moves until the five senses can pick Him up, then it's manifest. Manifest. Now the interesting thing here, based on Romans 1, where it says that God made the natural world in the pattern of the spiritual world. God made the natural world in the pattern of the spiritual world. And they are in three sections of the Bible. Romans 1, you find that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and chapter 5, you find that. And also in Hebrews 11. The basic understanding is that the natural world is based on the spiritual world. By faith, we understand in Hebrews 11 that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Thousands of years ago, a Greek philosopher called Democritus said and philosophized, said that matter is made from atoms. And he coined the word atoms, the smallest particle of matter. And then down the line, in the 20th century, Albert Einstein, with his famous equation E equals mc squared, says that matter is made from energy. So he went further. God's word, way back in time, already said that all energy and all matter is made up from the spiritual energy of His word. Hebrews 11. By faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed. The word frame is created and formed together. All the atoms, the molecules, the energy, all formed by the word of God. And we know that God spoke and it was so. So the origin of all things came from the word of God. And it would be safe to say that everything that we see in the natural world is made pattern on the spiritual world. It exists in the spiritual world before it exists in the natural world. And so, tracing it back, this is where we understand that when a person dies in a natural world, there was a loud click there. When a person dies in a natural world, we know that his physical eardrums have decayed, his natural eyes are now, you know, going to decay, his body nerve system has died, and the sense of smell and nerve cells all died, and his taste buds all are dead, everything is dead. But when his soul and his spirit goes into this, the realm of the spirit, he still can see, he still can hear, he still can taste, he still can feel. So what realm is that? There's another realm altogether. We know from the story in the Gospel of Luke, the story of the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus. How Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom and the rich man was in the other side. And you look at it, the rich man can see, can feel, can suffer, and all those realms. And one day when we all go to heaven, we will of course be able to taste the heavenly food. Imagine heaven doesn't have taste. Of course it has. Every fruit has taste. Right. But what kind of taste are we experiencing? Not just the natural taste buds created by the nerve systems in our physical body. So let me bring it forth to you. There first exists a spiritual sense of seeing, a spiritual sense of hearing, a spiritual realm of touching, a spiritual realm of smelling, a spiritual realm of tasting. And if you read the Bible, you find all these things mentioned once in a while. David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." What is he telling you to do? Lick the Lord? No. He's talking about the pleasure that comes out of being in God's presence. Right? Sometimes that pleasure is so incredible. It's like you've tasted something. And then the Bible talks about an incense that goes up to God. In Philippians chapter 4, it talks about offering to God, being an incense to Him. In the time of Noah, when Noah came out from the ark and offered the first animal sacrifice, and God smelled, it was good. Right? It's not just a natural smell, it was more the spiritual incense that was going into God from Noah's heart. We know that from Philippians 4 that it was a spiritual fragrance. Every time there's an offering of offertory service, you know, the smell of money is not very nice necessarily. No money that's handled all the time, have a smell. A new money smells nice, but old money doesn't smell nice. All the bacteria has gone onto it. Right? So we're not talking about natural smells, it's a spiritual incense that goes to God. So there's a spiritual smell apparently, and there's a spiritual realm of touch. It's a spiritual realm of touch. And we know that from time to time, God stretches out and He touches people. And they feel. Like the Old Testament prophets, what do they always say? The hand of the Lord is upon me. Yeah, but if you look behind them, there's no big fat hand, you know, on them. They just sense the Lord's hand on them. So there's a touch. Hearing. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And those people with Paul in Acts chapter 9, they hear something, but they don't really hear. Right? And then when Jesus dedicated himself, and then when God says, "Oh, this is my Son in whom I well pleased," not everybody hear that. Some of them say it thundered. Because their spiritual ears cannot hear it. They only hear, "Argh." That's all. But John recorded that God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Some say it thundered. Yeah. It didn't thunder, it was just God's voice. They couldn't hear. And then there's spiritual seeing. Sometimes Jesus is there, and some can see, some can't. There's a seeing in the spirit realm. And when you look at all these realms, what happens is, when it's manifest, it becomes experiential by your natural, as you yield yourself to God. And that comes under here, operations and diversities of the gifts of the Spirit. The same gift of God can operate in many ways. That's why, let's say the word discerning of spirits. Sometimes people sense the spirit realm through their sense of touch rather than sense of sight. That's why it's not strictly said seeing in the spirit realm. It's just discerning. The ability to know what is on in the spirit realm. And then the same gift can operate differently. For example, the word of wisdom. Let's say a revelation of things in the future. God can reveal that to a person through a vision. The person can see a vision. That's one type of operation. That means God is using this person's spiritual eyes. Another person can receive a revelation of the future through their ears. They don't see anything, but they heard the Lord say, "This is what is going to happen to this city." right? And he looks around, there's nothing. He just hears his voice. What did he receive? He received a word of wisdom through his ears. So any of the nine gifts of the Spirit can flow through us through any of these five spiritual senses. That is why it's important for your human spirit to be fully trained. And when your human spirit is fully trained in the spirit realm, God can use any of these operations. I know some people who discern demonic realms by the sense of smell. There's a particular evangelist I know. He says, you know, he knows the presence of demons by smell. He must have got super nerves, right? And then, so one day I was walking with him down the road, right? One Singapore evangelist. And he says, there's a homosexual demon here. You know? And I say, how do you know it? I smell it. So I go, I don't smell anything. God doesn't reveal to me the spirit realm by smell as much as He revealed to me through my eyes. I see them in the spirit. So, different operations. Now you understand why that verse is there. Verse 6 is there. Diversity of operation. So you can see the nine gifts, not just nine. Each of those gifts can operate to different operation. Same gift, different in everybody. And then that same gift, of course, this first one, diversities of spirit, talking about the nine different gifts, which is covered. Diversity of operations, we're talking about how it can come to any of the five senses. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Now, what's ministry talking about? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says that Jesus, when He ascended on high, also gave gifts to men. Some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. No two pastors are the same. No two evangelists are the same. No two apostles are the same. You look at Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, different. Look at Barnabas, who is also called an apostle from Apostle Paul. He's different. And look at two prophets. You know, even in our modern day, Hagin is a different prophet from Bill Hammond. Different. And why? Because some prophets would have, for example, the word of wisdom and the discerning of spirits operating in your life, plus the gift of prophecy operating. And so that's how they operate. And in some prophets, you don't find a single miracle. Tell me, what miracle did Jeremiah did? Nothing. Right? He had a fantastic prophecy and all that. But did he heal anyone? No. But what about Elijah? Yes. So Elijah was a prophet. He had the word of wisdom. He had the word of knowledge. He seems to have this distinct spirit, but not fully recorded. And he has the working of miracles operating in his life. Can you see that? It's different. And it made him a different type of prophet. So that's what he mean by diversities or dissimilar differences of ministry. And so as each one of us operate this first, we have to go step by step. As we learn the nine gifts of the Spirit, we have to learn first of all that each gift can operate in five or more different ways. What way does it operate in your life for you to discover? And that once you understand how each gift operates in your life, these gifts can group together, and if two or three of them operate regularly in your life, it will produce a ministry that is different from and somebody else. And differentiate you from somebody else. Like William Branham. He's a prophet. And he operated a lot in the world of knowledge, discerning of spirits and the gifts of healings. Different type of prophet from Kenneth Hagin. And each one has to discover their gifts and see how it operates and let it flow from there. One little step at a time. That's why verse 4, 5 and 6 of 1 Corinthians 12 is important. And once you start here with operations, then you learn the different giftings. And then as it becomes a part of your life, it begins to produce a ministry. But the basic thing is, it's become a manifestation. And so the road to understanding the gifts of the Spirit is to let our human spirit grow strong. So Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 and chapter 1 and chapter 3 are the most important prayers that you could pray for any Christian, and pray that constantly in your life. When your inner man is strengthened, you look at the results of Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. The result is that they become yielded vessels for the presence of God to go higher. That's when the gifts of the Spirit operate at a higher level. So you present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit flows through. And if you keep operating, this is interesting, if you keep operating in faithfully with your human spirit in any of this, it does create an environment for the Spirit to sometimes flow it through your life. And you understand that realm easier. For example, someone who prays in tongues a lot and understands the realm of tongues and have full control of the different tongues flowing through his life, isn't it natural that it's easier for the gift of tongues to operate through his life when the Holy Spirit comes? So, a similar way, we learn in this realm, then we wait on this realm. This is the realm of waiting, this is the realm of learning. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Could you explain what part impartations had to do with receiving the actual gifts?
Okay. And the realm of impartation is a totally different realm, right? It's a realm of the Spirit where what I call is the quality of resonance. That means if you are called to be a prophet, someone, and they have the gift of prophecy in your life, and a person who has the gift of prophecy comes, the gift in your life resonates. And it quickens, and when the person prays over you, that gift quickens in your life. It can increase, it can strengthen. So impartation can only give into our life what God called you to do. And it can increase in the area. That's why God draws you into certain gifts. When you see under those gifts, it increases in your life. But it's still God who gives. Praise God. Let's pray.